You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. And I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berry CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle and they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. Hey, you know, some of my most cherished childhood memories are the photos I have from the holidays while growing up on the mean streets of McLean. Those pictures are everything. But here's the problem. In today's world, all of your family photos are trapped in your cell phone. Your mom would love to see those pictures of the grandkids, but when was the last time you actually shared them beyond a quick text? That's where Aura Frames comes in, and this is the perfect gift solution. You get the frame from mom or grandma, then you can flip those digital assets over to them all year long. Download the Aura app, connect to Wi-Fi, and you can add photos from anywhere, anytime. It's just one gift at the holidays, but you look like a hero 365 days a year. Unlimited photos and videos. Share effortlessly straight from your phone. The frame arrives preloaded in a premium gift box with no price tag. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, mentioned by Wirecutter, by using promo code ZABE at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code ZABE. The exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is the best of the year. So order now before it ends. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout.
Terms and conditions apply.
Today's Power Lunch is brought to you by The Palm at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Sure, The Palm is great for a fancy night out, but it's also the perfect midweek spot for a lunch with a client, or a lunch to catch up with a friend, or maybe even to do an interesting podcast like this. Power Lunch menu selections at The Palm start at $26 for an appetizer, meal, and dessert. Book your reservation today directly at thepalm.com, open table, or by calling them at 703-917-0200.
I can make most anything on the menu except
whatever you got is fine.
I'm going to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch.
Hey, you got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome.
What can I say except you're welcome.
My third appearance here at the Palm. Nice to be here.
Hope okay. Everybody... Did you bring some valet money, Andy?
I did.
You know, I don't want you stiffing the valet and me getting a bad review like, hey, your guests don't tip the valet.
My first time, I thought, well, I'll save them. I'll go park in the garage. And I thought, you know, you get a validation for that, and that'd be fine. Nope, no validation for the garage, which I believe was $14 at
oh,
the time.
My God, a $14 lunch?
And you said...
Do you want me to reimburse you?
No, no, it's fine. And you said, I'm good now. And you said, no, you're better off with the valet because that's free. I will tip the valet, of course, but you said the valet was free. So
It's technically free, but you should tip.
I don't live in this world. I don't live in the Palm world where I'm used to valet parking.
Oh, don't act so fancy. All right. Okay, here we go. I'm going to go live here, and we'll see how this goes. Go live, record audio and video. Okay.
Oh, we got video, too, so.
Okay, we are live. I don't even know if this is being seen on X or not, but it is a power lunch at the Palm, Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Marty Conway, Georgetown sports marketing professor. I always say law as well.
Yeah, no.
And you're like, no, I
can't. My mother wanted me in law school, but it didn't work out. Sorry.
I could dabble in law, but
right.
Andy Poland, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
How
nice
are you?
I'm good.
Welcome to this side of the river, by the way, Virginia side.
Every once in a while, I'll pack a lunch and come across the bridge. Right. Yeah.
Did you have a passport? John is here. He's going to take care of us. Let's go ahead and order our power lunch and do it live here. I would like the petite or the petite filet, the 6 ounce, medium rare. And a splash of fries on the side. Splash. Not a big portion.
Portion.
And no vegetables anywhere in sight.
Absolutely not.
All right. Andy, what do you want?
I will have the lobster bisque and the chicken parmesan, which is what I had last time. It was fabulous.
Okay.
Can
Marty,
I have
no pressure.
Caesar salad with some chicken and those same splash of fries, wherever they splash, and an iced tea.
Wherever they splash. All right. And what to drink?
Iced tea to drink.
Iced tea to drink. Very good.
A salad.
That might kill me. As Ron Swanson said, salad is what my food eats.
Yeah, perfect.
Not me.
Have you ever heard this?
I would love some lobster bisque.
Have you ever heard this about Al Michaels and his vegetable?
Yes. Me and Al Michaels have the same palate.
But if he orders a steak... And they accidentally put some parsley next to the steak, not even on it. He sends it back because it might have touched the green. That's nuts.
All right. Thank you very much, John. Appreciate that. Okay. Marty, today on the to-do list, NIL, PE, NCAA, NBA.
Yep.
I've got all the acronyms going because there's a lot of stuff
and
happening.
The intersection is money for all of that. Yeah. Everything that you just mentioned is all about money.
Okay.
Right.
Since you're looking at me, drag that microphone just in my – get the microphone in between your mouth and me right here.
How's
there
that?
You go.
That
That's
better.
Beautiful. Okay. All right. So there is a basketball tournament I see called the Players' Era.
The Players' Era. Yeah.
And it is apparently getting a lot of money now. This is a Big 12 production, correct?
Well, no. The Big 12 recently invested in it. I think they took a 15% stake.
Okay.
And that's important because Brett Yormark, who is the commissioner of the Big 12, he goes back to his professional days. He was, I think, head of the Brooklyn Nets. I think he might have been head of Roc Nation. Anyhow, he and others are turning that entire upside down where – the Players Era tournament started 2 years ago with 8 teams, and the idea was each team would get $1 million that would go to their NIL fund, their collective, right? Everything else, whoever was running it, they collected. It's now going to grow in 2 years to a 32-team tournament. This is prior to the season where every team will receive the same $1 million in NIL, the idea. So, and it's obviously going to be held in Vegas. You could imagine that. And so...
When is it happening?
In early to see. It's like a November tournament, preseason tournament.
Yeah, it's happening now. Maryland's playing in
that's
this
right.
Okay. As
that's
we
right.
speak.
And it's called a festival. The Players' Era Festival.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
There's some kind of legalese that they can't call it a tournament?
So this – it's marketing probably. So this is going to pretty much kill Maui and the Alaska shootout, which is already, I think, dead.
Yes.
I think there was a story saying how – the organizers of Maui are disappointed they can't get teams anymore.
Yes.
Well, you know what made those tournaments was technically they were not a part of the Connected 48.
Right.
So that gave you the loophole.
Extra games.
Extra games. That's why everybody was running. This goes back to the 70s when they started that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm the NCAA, I got to be kind of a little bit shit in my pants because all of this stuff could start replacing all the stuff the NCAA has.
So when our ancestors are here in 20 years doing this podcast, our ancestors,
I plan to be here.
They're going
to
open
years,
up
Marty.
This. They're going to open up this time capsule, and they're going to see these letters NCAA, and they're going to say, "Pops, what was that?
Oh, really?
Tell me what the NCAA was. Can you tell me about a time when the NCAA really mattered?" And that's kind of where it's heading, literally. Where,
unbelievable.
With the exception of the men's basketball tournament, which holds everything together, right? 90% of all the revenues that the NCAA gets, you've heard that before, come from the men's basketball tournament. Aside from that, the NCAA no longer holds anything in particular.
Wow. So what about the non-revenue sports? How will they be run?
Well, that's the question. Will these conferences continue to be set the way they are, or will there become football conferences? Could someday the Big Ten, now that 18 teams, actually become almost exclusively a football and men's and women's basketball conference? And that the Olympic sports organize in a different way, but still play for a championship, right? Is it important to do that? Because I think you've realized now that to have the Maryland women's volleyball team fly
to Oregon?
LA or yeah. Oregon yeah. to play a game or two or three, it just... The money can't be sustained.
No.
The expenses can't be sustained.
And what's the big deal if they go across town to play AU or Georgetown? I mean, you lose the experience of the Big Ten.
As long as they have the opportunity to play in whatever that national championship tournament is, the NCAA or whatever you want to call it, that's what matters. Because when you talk to athletic directors who are not in the Power Four or even Power Five, Big East, et cetera, they say the same thing, and that is, just give me access to the men's basketball tournament. I just continue to need that because of the units that they can earn by winning.
Interesting.
That's it. They just need access to that tournament.
Man, things are changing and changing quickly.
But whatever happened to, there's just not enough money to pay the players. Right. Whatever, that went away quickly, didn't
Andy,
it?
Andy, don't talk shit about this. You are so out over your skis on this. Right now, the players are definitely benefiting.
Yes.
But that money is not necessarily sustainable. This is a gold rush.
Yeah.
In the gold rush, eventually the thick veins of gold dried up and it got harder and harder to find the gold.
Yeah, understand.
The
but
the problem that's going to be facing all the schools, including your beloved Maryland, is getting the money to pay for these guys.
It is. Maybe they'll get the money under control, but I would say this about the games. The games are as good or better.
Yeah.
And basketball.
The games are good.
And the basketball is better because the teams are made up of experienced college players. The one and dones are not having the impact that they used to have. Like Rick Pitino is saying he's not recruiting high school guys anymore at all.
Right.
So,
No.
And so when I sit down on a Saturday afternoon to watch college football, I say, this is great. I don't care how much they're getting paid and how they got there and how many schools they've been to before they got there or whether they're 25 years old. It doesn't matter to me.
WIN. That's all you care about.
Right.
You want to see them win, ultimately.
All right. Let's talk PE, private equity.
Yep.
Funny thing is, Marty, I've got a good friend, Chip Lippman, who is in private equity for the Carlyle Group. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I golf with him. I've asked him about private equity. He has explained it to me as best as my little Neanderthal radio guy brain can understand. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the round, I'm like, I don't know what it is. Can you explain private equity as if we're on an elevator ride?
Not as well as somebody that would work at Carlyle. But I would explain it differently, right? Private credit is loaning an organization money that funds their operations, and they're going to pay you on a... on a percentage basis back for it's like a loan. Equity is where they're giving you
a stake in
they're
the
giving
business.
You a stake, and in return you're getting an equity piece for that.
Got it.
What do you expect from that equity piece? You expect that 5, 7, 9, 11 years later, you expect it to be worth 2, 3, 4, 5x for that because you intend to flip that to do that. Necessarily credit doesn't mean that I always might want to loan you money in return for your paying me interest. But in an equity situation, you expect that equity to increase so that you can flip it and do something else with
by
it down
multiples.
The line. Exactly.
Okay, so you're supercharging a business with your big pile of money.
With the expectation that you're going to exit that in some reasonable period of time and you're going to return to your fund who expect that kind of return so that they can take those returns and plow them into something else.
Now, what is the least amount of multiples that private equity is willing to bend down for?
2X, 3X? Oh,
at least if you're not doubling your money every 5 years, I would say, you're not looking at it correctly.
So private equity doesn't want to bother if it's not 3, 4, 5X.
Right, that's what other credit in other ways would be for. Okay. If you're not expecting that kind of return.
So then you're talking about the size of the program. You want to invest in Alabama for football. You don't want to do it for Maryland.
Well, the most recent one was they tried to buy the whole Big Ten.
Yeah.
And Michigan and USC said, whoa.
We got our own cash, right?
Well, yes, that's partly true. They did say that. But what they were most concerned about was the money going equally to all the programs and organizations.
Right.
The one thing that you have in college athletics, which you do have in pro sports, is a sense of some, like the Cowboys and Yankees and others, don't always feel like every team in the league should get the same amount of money equally in whatever we're doing. And that's the way they don't feel like Indiana and Purdue and others should get the same amount of money that Michigan and USC and UCLA have gotten.
That's the genius of the NFL, though. The NFL, the television money is split equally. So model is never going to work in other areas.
You're exactly right, Andy, which is what they're running into, which is until they reform their structure to allow for that and to agree to that, it's going to be hard for any new money to come in and to satisfy 18 different individual single shareholders like you have in the Big Ten.
So the other problem with the Big Ten thing was not just that Michigan and USC said, we don't like this deal for us. This is a payday loan. Why are we forfeiting control, basically, of what our whole league is to a bunch of private equity sharks?
Right, right. And if you look at university presidents who run these situations, they're usually the most difficult to deal with.
Oh, the tweed jackets, I call them.
Exactly.
The presidents.
Because what they're trying to balance is they know they need the money, but on the other hand, they really don't want to be seen as taking the money and to be considered greedy, right?
Can we get the money in a quiet back alley somewhere, maybe something like that?
Exactly.
So not only was Michigan and USC a big sticking point, and they killed the deal, I read a story, Marty, that said as they were describing the levels of payout to the programs in the Big Ten, the bottom level included like Rutgers and some of the programs that were longtime traditional Big Ten members, Northwestern, Iowa, said, and I quote, "Oh, so we're just like Rutgers now?"
Right.
And it rubbed them the wrong way, Andy, because they were in the same pay tier as Rutgers.
I understand, but given the media model, Northwestern should be on higher footing than Iowa, right? Because of Chicago.
So too. The Chicago market?
Chicago market, and the same thing with Rutgers being part of the New York market.
Okay, but people have to give a shit about Northwestern in that market size.
True.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
It's a niche program. It's a boutique program. It's a program that punches above its weight because guys like Wilbon and
Christine and
Darren Revelle just talk about it nonstop.
Yeah, that's true.
But the average fan doesn't give a shit about Northwestern.
Yeah, but that's the only reason. Well, Northwestern was already in, but that's the only reason Rutgers and Maryland are in the Big Ten.
I know.
Because of the television.
I know. But that television money is starting to disintegrate.
Well, but
right,
at that
Marty?
Time, so it was about timing. It was about taking the Washington metro area and the New York metro area at the time that the Big Ten Network needed that for
cable
distribution.
Oh, yeah,
and now that model has flipped so much where distributors are no longer saying, yes, bring us more because we want more sports. If you look at the YouTube ESPN dispute, it was not about bringing us more. It was actually bring us less because we can no longer pass along that increase. That cable bill that we used to have, I don't have the cable bill anymore because it got to $350 a month.
Yeah.
And it just was exponentially growing. And now they've recognized we don't have those consumers anymore. So it's not like that anymore. And so Northwestern has to compete on the field and drive their value that way.
Yeah. Well, the TV landscape obviously is changing a lot. What did you make of the Google, or I should say YouTube, which is Google, YouTube versus Disney dispute. One of my guys said, you know, it's like Disney was a good football team in the MAC that finally played an SEC opponent in Google, and they got their asses kicked. What do you think of that analogy?
No, I do like that. I think that's funny, actually. But the important thing about it is, yes, they met a match. So it's a long story, but Alphabet is the corporate company, Google, and then YouTube sits underneath it. And what you really found was in the past, those distributors like a Charter or Xfinity, there were lots of regulatory issues Google and YouTube had none of that, and so Disney didn't have the leverage that they used to have to be able to run those commercials to say, call your legislator, call your congressman, et cetera.
Oh, they ran their talent out to say
that's
that.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's what they tried this time.
Yeah. Didn't Scott
like
Van Pelt.
Fart in an elevator.
Yeah, yeah. And that also was a bad look for them.
Yes.
You know, begging you to empty your pockets for them. These guys are making millions of dollars a year.
And so at the core of the dispute was – what the issue for YouTube is if I'm going to pay you $20 a month, Disney, for all of your packaging, but yet you're also going to have all of this content on what's called ESPN Unlimited, right? And that's going to be outside of that universe. Why do I want to continue to do that? Because I want everybody to have everything within that $90 a month YouTube TV universe. So that's where most of the disputes were around, and that's what it's coming down to is because, you know, in the app world, you have to leave Amazon Prime to go to ESPN to whatever.
Oh, yeah.
In the past, it was just flip the channels.
All right. Well, it's changed the whole model for males especially who watch TV and are not necessarily interested in what they're watching now. They're interested in what's on the other channel.
Yeah.
So you're constantly flipping.
Yeah.
So like when you're watching Thursday Night Football on Prime, you're stuck there you want to go through the whole rigmarole with the extra remote. And believe me, at the age of 67, this is becoming even more confusing.
Oh, you want to talk confusing? My mom, 86, bless her heart, texts me and says, Stephen, why is the Packer game coming in Spanish? And I was like, oh boy.
So
I did a quick Grok search about taking off the SAP setting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, is it on the television? Is it on the provider? Is it on cable? Is it streaming?
Yeah.
I think my mom learned a little bit of Spanish watching the Packer game on Sunday.
Give me the days where you adjust the rabbit ears and put the tinfoil on top.
But here's the thing, Andy. We have unlimited choice now in sports content.
Right.
And we also have unlimited pain in our balls.
We do.
And it's
figuring it out, paying for it, logins, passwords, subscriptions, the rates keep going up.
Right.
You know, my favorite line, Marty, is from Star Wars when Darth Vader says, I've altered the deal. Pray that I don't alter it further. Because that's how it is with streaming. Like, I know that I was talking about how, hey, it looks like we're going to get some cheaper sports bundles on YouTube TV, which I'm a subscriber.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what a rare win.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody said, until they raise the price.
It's introductory. Yeah, yeah, everything is like
that's right.
It's like magazine subscription. Yep. You can have it for a dollar, but when it comes time to renew, it's going to be $500. Oh, you didn't bother to renew? It's $500.
Yeah, three years ago, YouTube TV was in the 60s, and now it's 89, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a part of
it's just
it.
Going up even further. But, you know, Andy, you and I are old enough, and you too, Marty. You remember when there were certain games that were not on TV?
How about home games for the Redskins?
Yeah. Well, that goes really far back.
But that was when
in your lifetime.
Not only that, it was
what year was that? What was the last year they were not on?
1972.
Due to the NFL's blackout rules.
Blackout rules, which existed. It was 50 miles radius. And this is what Robin Ficker, you know Robin Ficker? You probably heard this story.
I do.
So
Robin Ficker
is he's a local rabble rouser. He's run for office a bunch of times, but probably
Robin
best known.
Robin Ficker used to be known for the heckling guy, the old man heckler of NBA players who sat one row behind the bench.
Right. That was only a part of his whole thing. He was an attorney.
Yep. Oh, okay.
And so in 1972, the Redskins hosted the Packers on Christmas Eve in a playoff game. And they said, whoa, how can you can't watch this. Nixon wanted to watch it in the White House. And so he was kind of encouraging Ficker. And Ficker took it all the way to the Supreme Court to see if he can get an injunction to have it televised locally. That didn't happen. And then what do you know, the following week, they're playing the Cowboys for the NFC Championship. Same thing. And so that creates the momentum for the 72-hour blackout rule. But if you look at the old microfilm of that, you'll see where Commissioner Rozell doesn't like it. The owners are like, I don't think this is going to work out.
Because they're worried about protecting the gate.
And here's the other thing.
And the television broadcast was so shitty back then.
It was 13 inches of black and white.
Black and white.
So it's not like sitting home now, 65 inches of HD. You go, this is so much better.
Right.
Yeah, and so that's what created the blackout rule. The first game I saw televised
on my set from RFK was the opening game of the 73 season, and it was the Redskins against the San Diego Chargers with Johnny Unitas at quarterback.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that, by the way, Kirk Cousins just tied Johnny Unitas for most career touchdown passes. Not most, but tied him on the list at 17th.
So what?
And how much money do you – I was asking yesterday on this pod. I go, how much money do you think Johnny Unitas made in his pro career? Because I believe Kirk has made $500 million.
No. Yeah. It's he's the all-time – I think he's made more than Brady.
Yeah.
Made more than Brady.
All right, what do you think Unitas made? Because he was on the front end, Marty, of when the marketability of NFL stars exploded with Namath.
Yeah, I don't think he made $10 million for sure. No, I don't think.
Top salary was probably about $250,000.
Right.
Look, the Joe Namath deal that blew everybody's minds of $400,000-some, that was multi-year.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't just
– what was that, the Nagzima deal?
No, it was the deal that he got with the Jets.
Oh, the actual football contract.
NFL contract.
Broadway Joe.
All right. So anyway, the landscape is changing. I don't want to go all the way back to those days, Andy, where there were local blackouts. But I would like to go back to about 1998 in the media ecosystem. What would be the sweet spot for you guys as to when it was all just enough? Not too much, but just enough. Now, the dagger is, Andy, 98 is the standard definition.
I was just going to say that. And you were the one that dragged me into HD.
Oh, yeah.
And it was $4,000 for projection HD.
Rear projection.
Rear projection.
Yes.
And the bulb, when it would go out, was $250 just for the bulb.
And I somehow convinced Andy, one of the most frugal guys out there, good enough Andy,
let
Marty.
Let me tell you.
Everything was good enough. And I go, dude, you got to see high def.
You got me at the right spot because Tony had just left ESPN and they settled with me. So I got a nice settlement.
Severance.
Yeah. I mean, it was less than what the contract was, but I didn't have to work anymore for the money. So I felt it became
good.
Right. Yeah.
And you never looked back, did you? You said to me, you know what? This has been the greatest thing ever, right?
Well, especially when they went to the off the projection stuff on the HD we have now.
Oh, yeah.
4K. Where you can buy them for like $300 and it's like mind-blowing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of some old TVs in the basement and my wife is like, well, does that TV still work? And would somebody want it? And I go, it works.
No one would want it.
Nobody wants it. It's like it's heavier than today's panels, and it's only 32 inches. It's a $40 TV, maybe.
$40.
Even with doorbusters on Friday. By the way, you going doorbusting on Friday?
No.
Come on.
What do I need? I have everything I need.
Get out there. Get in line.
Just to buy?
Yeah.
I don't buy. I don't
consume.
Do
how do you think this country runs?
Just for the juice. Spend.
I spend my money elsewhere. Education. Things
all
like
right.
that.
I got a question here on the live stream. If you want to ask Marty anything, just hit us up on X right now. Phil Colicatrana says, does Marty have any insights on the upgrades underway at Oriole Park?
Ah, okay. So I will... soon, because I think actually, what's today, Monday? I'm going to see them tomorrow on Tuesday.
Them being the Orioles.
Yes. And so, as you just to back up a little bit, so prior to the Hogan administration ending, both franchises were offered the ability to extend the Ravens and the Orioles to extend their leases, their respective leases for their stadiums by 30 years. And to entice that, the Maryland legislator group put together a package of $1.2 billion. That each franchise would get $600 million of that when they executed their lease and then subsequently after. The Ravens did it immediately. In fact, they did it before Hogan left because they felt it was more favorable to that change. And so they've begun their renovations, and they're two-thirds of the way adding all the different
bells
and
whistles. What are they doing?
So, well, first of all, for them, everything is about two things. It's about, number one, the fan experience. So they're doing things with video and other things. And number two, it's about monetization. So they've got clubs on every level. Yeah. Like, if you go to a game there today and even next year, there's a good chance that in any of the clubs, you will see 500 people sitting here like at the Palm today watching on a screen, even though they bought a ticket to
with
sit outside.
Carpeting
exactly.
And upgraded food experience.
Right, exactly. It's like they chose to go to a sports bar, even though they've paid the ticket to
it's
sit
unreal.
Outside. It is unreal.
And they might take one inning outside.
Yeah.
And if it's a hot day in August in Baltimore, hon, they're staying in the damn club.
And so there's two things about it. There is the ability to, like I said, monetize it. with the additional spend. There's the addition to do naming pieces around it, which they do. And so it's more about the experience. And what they're trying to do literally in every NFL city is they're trying to bring all those, as many of those tailgate experiences as they can inside the stadium, right? Yeah. That the experience for you is
right.
better because they do not want you out in the parking lot because there's a lot of money out there.
This is what happened at Lambeau Field is that, you know, the locals would tell me about, oh, I miss the old Lambeau where you would sit out there with your Weber grill and your Hams beer. And it'd be freezing cold, but that was part of the experience. Well, they built this huge Johnsonville Brats, sponsored Marty, tailgate pavilion, which is indoors.
Yeah.
It's climate controlled, so it's warm in the winter. It's cool in the first couple of games of the year. Mm-hmm. And they sell brats and beer and beer and brats. And they've got a stage for a band.
Yep.
And they want you in there. Because they looked around, they're like, why are we letting people bring their own food? We should sell them that food.
Well, that's the whole thing about the whole sports. When's the last game you saw in the mud? Ever seen a football game played in the mud?
People bitch and moan about a field that's not perfect. That one guy slips, like, you know, the field in Spain.
Right. And
this field's terrible.
And I'm telling you, all this nostalgia about RFK, there was one luxury box in RFK, and the owner had it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody, a guy making $200,000 a year would sit next to a guy making $20,000 a year. Mm-hmm. When each of them had a pish, they went to the same urinal. those days, the pro sports model doesn't really exist anymore, the way it was anyway.
Oh, beautiful.
So to answer your question, to answer Phil's question about that, I think what you'll see is similar to Oriole Park. You'll see the same thing. There'll be emphasis on the fan experience, a bigger video board, better sound quality to do engagement. And the second thing will be, for example, they're moving the press box, which was, by most people tell me, the greatest press box ever, right, in terms
Why?
Of sight line, location.
Okay.
Oh,
it was the bunker. It was the perfect
parking
spot.
Too.
No, because Nats Park is up in the ether.
And so they're going to move that to the left, and they're going to build a 600-seat dining facility right behind home plate.
Wow.
Right? And so, to your point, they're moving that. So those are the kind of things you're going to see as fan engagement experience plus monetization that will improve the experience for the fans, but also increase their bottom line by 2, 3, 5x over the period of time.
Whoa! Yeah. All right, Marty, did you order soup today?
I did not.
Okay, Andy, I'm going to turn your mic off. You can eat your soup. I'm going to talk to Marty right now about NBA teams selling.
Okay.
At a rapid pace.
Yes.
This story also came up.
Yes.
Why are NBA teams selling so much these days?
Well, first of all, as Mark Cuban would say, you sell when you can, not when you need to, not when you want to, right?
Okay.
So that's number one. And so if there's dollars coming in through private equity and other facilities.
Which there are in the NBA, as I read in the story.
So you're going to take that opportunity. So if you take a situation where many of these, well, all of them obviously, some of them were family oriented, but otherwise they were partners. These partners that come in, they expect at some point a path to liquidity to get something out. So there's two things that happen. Either I want to sell as a limited partner, or I need to sell because there's something that's occurred, a death in the family, a death of the limited partner, and the family says, get us out. And so the commissioner and NBA owners are constantly on the lookout for new sources of funds, essentially to replace the funding that's in there, because that's what's driving. If you look at Monumental Sports, for example, they brought in as a partner the Qatari Wealth Fund. Now, they're going to be a passive investor. They don't expect significant increase, but those dollars can be used to buy out limited partners who are on their way out. And so there's a lot of different things going on in those front offices, but a lot of it has to do with, if you look at the setup for the NBA, they've got long-term labor peace, and now they've got new revenue streams in media.
They got big TV deals.
Exactly.
And so the benefit is they've got a tiny roster size.
Yeah.
12 guys active, a few more on the extended.
Yes.
And they got a shit ton of games.
Yes.
And their players don't play all the games, and nobody seems to care. The league is trying to get them to play more games where they say you're not eligible for all these postseason awards if you don't play 65 games.
Right.
And it looks like Wemby's probably going to miss that again.
Yep.
And when he's healthy, he is an alien. He's so good.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
But nobody seems to care. So it seems like it's a good business. I don't know why these guys wouldn't stay in the business. Cuban, and this is where I'm going to turn your mic on again, Andy. Cuban, like an idiot, sold and was given a promise with no actual writing that he could still run basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And then the new guy, Dumont,
yeah,
just quietly started taking over and talking to Nico Harrison on the side. And right, they trade Luka, and Cuban's like, what?
Yeah, well, that's right. Look at the Bus Brothers in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She stayed on as a limited partner.
Oh, yeah, Jeannie.
Selling the team for $10 billion.
Jesus.
$10 billion, and the two brothers stayed on in the front office. Well, the new guy gassed them. They're out. Yeah. So, and then I don't know how that's going to play with Jeannie, but this is Succession.
It's
Did you
crazy.
Like the show Succession?
No, I hated Succession. I was one of the few guys that thought it sucked.
Do you like that, Marty?
I do, yeah. The other part about the NBA is, look, they have big designs. So from an investor standpoint coming in, it's not about the teams in the United States. That's important. The NBA Europe, when it launches in 2 years, and then eventually NBA Africa, that's where the growth potential really is. And so if you're coming
NBA
in as an equity investor,
Africa is going to be a thing?
Absolutely. That's what you're looking at.
Will the
at.
African champ play our champ in a best of seven?
Look, this is what will logically happen is there'll be the NBA Europe. And so you talk about, Andy, about college players coming from Europe to play in college. When NBA Europe develops in a couple of years, so if the best 450 players are in the NBA, the next 450 players will be in NBA Europe, and then you'll start to see an wow. infiltration between that. And don't be surprised if they get to the point where the top two or three teams in NBA Europe are eligible to come in and play in that tournament that they have during the season.
Is that
right?
Part of why they set up the midseason tournament?
Because exactly.
One day they figured we'll have European teams again.
Adam Silver
of it.
Envies the Champions League in European football like you can't believe.
Right.
Right? That's what they see as these extra secondary games that make a lot of money and have a lot of high profile and lead to some sort of culmination tournament. That's what they have in mind. I think what you're looking at right now in this November-December tournament is modest compared to the next
wow.
5 years of what it would be like. Wow.
Except those nuclear-colored courts, Andy.
Oh my God. It's hard to watch it.
It
doesn't even look like basketball.
And to think what they had to do to try to get players to care about right. a game during the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I had to bribe them.
Yeah, exactly.
And
right?
money.
And I still
right?
don't think they care that much.
Yeah, well, they used to say that about the slam dunk contest. Like, so if you get enough money,
yeah.
you'll get the top stars to do it. They make so much money, they don't care.
Apparently,
do they pay the dunk contest?
Yeah, they do.
So apparently the money's not enough, Andy, because now you have players taking prop bets because they need some extra money.
Oh,
yes.
right. Yeah,
so when
yeah.
you have a Terry Rozier who had tax problems with others saying, yeah. I need to take a couple $100,000 extra. So apparently they're not making enough money.
But here's the question. About
guess what the dunk contest the winner gets?
What, $1 million?
Yes. Yeah. A million, you say?
$100,000.
$105,000.
Oh, yeah. So then they can't do it. But
Andy, that is club money for
I know,
these
that's,
guys.
That's nothing. But the gambling thing, what I was told when they were trying to get legalized gambling into sports is they will flag these things mm-hmm. when they happen. Mm-hmm. So is it possible there have been Terry Rozier's going back to the 60s
yeah.
and they just weren't able to flag it because
yeah.
it was illegal?
But remember this. They say, well, you know, without gambling, we wouldn't have caught these. But without gambling, you wouldn't have created these things either.
No, the gambling was already there. It was
just
illegal.
Not to the extent it is yeah. now. It's so much easier on your phone
right,
to go
right.
beep, boop, boop.
Parlays in particular,
and,
right?
And prop bets.
Prop bets and parlays to be a part of it to do it. It's one thing about the outcome. And we've seen all that point shaving things, but the prop bets and the other things along the way are where the challenges are.
All right, I'm going to log off here. Thank you, everybody on Twitter who watched. We were up to almost 900 viewers,
wow.
so I don't know if that's good or not. We thank the Palm here in Tyson's Corner for having us on this Power Lunch. They've been very good to us here. And the prop bet's going to be who's going to finish their soup first, me or Andy. Andy's got a head start, but I'm a very voracious eater.
So am I.
And then the back end of this podcast can be listened to at the Zabecast, because I will post it later on. But this concludes our live portion. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit mybookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie Zulu
Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. Look, I know what you're thinking. Here's the bald guy talking about hair loss treatments. Well, the irony is not lost on me, folks. But here's the thing. Hims isn't just about hair restoration. They're tackling real health issues that some guys deal with but just don't want to talk about or wait in the doctor's waiting room. No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. They offer convenient access to prescription treatments with doctor-trusted ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can stop hair loss and even regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments, no waiting rooms, no hoops, no hidden fees. Think of Hims as your digital front door for trusted treatments. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Go to Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Did you know that your calendar age does not always match how old your body truly is? Your biological age and the age of your cells and organs is the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases. That's why I ordered the True Age test from True Diagnostic. With just a simple at-home finger prick, you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights. No doctor visits, no labs. Look, I'll be honest. When I learned that if your biological age is just 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk can jump 30 to 50%. I got a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks ketchup counts as a vegetable. But up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. The way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress has a massive impact on how fast our bodies age. True Diagnostic gives you a personalized report with science-backed steps to actually slow down aging. I'm kind of dreading what my results might say, but I am curious. Maybe this will finally be the wake-up call that gets me and you back on track. The test is super easy. Send in your sample using the prepaid mailer, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you get your detailed report. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code ZABE to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. TrueDiagnostic.com, promo code ZABE at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
The holidays are here, and if you've got names on your list that are impossible to buy for, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last-minute. I found something perfect for any football fan in your life, the New York Times Custom Football Book. You pick your favorite NFL team and they create a custom book with actual front page coverage from the Times going all the way back to that team's early years. We're talking historic games, championships, legendary moments, over 90 pages of real newspaper history. Talk about a gift that will blow them away. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, sports fans, foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make, they give $1 back to nonprofit partners of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zabe. That's uncommongoods.com/CZA-Echo for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
I mean, when's the last time you were in a fight?
Let's see, CIA basketball courts with Todd Davenport and Stephan Giannopoulos.
What age?
Circa 1991. We were playing, you know, 2-on-2. Yeah. And Todd just had this move. We're live, by the way. Marty is noshing on some fries after eating a very healthy salad. How was your chicken parm, Andy?
Outstanding.
It was really good.
Yeah.
You would have had the veal parm, try the veal, but they were apparently out of veal today.
I didn't.
Or you didn't see it on the
menu? I just see the menu, and okay. Frankly, I wouldn't go out of my way to eat veal. Chicken is just as good.
Okay. I had the steak filet, beautiful, with the fries, splash fries, more than I needed, but that's okay. I might bring them home, put them
this
in the air fryer.
This is a big splash. If that's a splash,
yeah.
I can't imagine what a real order is.
So when I said one more fry, Andy said, yeah, you're looking like you're one fry short, in his typical subversive, fat-shaming way. And I said, I don't want to kick a 67-year-old man's ass today, but I got time for it now that I'm unemployed.
Well, it doesn't take that long.
And you said, well, you could have done it all these years, probably.
Yeah, but we started working together, what, 2000?
Yeah.
So 2000, I was, what, 42? So yes. Yeah, you could have done that. You could have done it then. You're bigger, stronger. You know,
not much. But it would feel really good in the moment, whipping your ass, and then I'd feel bad afterwards.
You probably would,
because I still like you too.
The last fight I think was in junior high school, so I would have been 13 or 14.
Okay,
and it was more shirt pulling than punching. As I remember.
Yeah. It's kind of how it goes. Yeah. Marty, when was the last time?
Well,
you
does
were in
rec
a scrap?
Sports count? Like when you were older and playing adult leagues?
Oh, that you got in fights in that?
Oh, I think so. Yeah,
really?
I think so.
Which sport?
Soccer, basketball,
punches, soccer. Actual punches.
It was kind of like a hockey fight. You get the shirt over their head, and then you know your people jump in and break it up.
How about all these fights in football stadiums in the stands?
Drunks.
I mean, I don't know. I have a weird obsession with watching all of them. If one comes across my timeline, Marty, I'm in. I'm like, ooh, who's going to get it here? And sometimes it's the women who are the most vicious.
Yeah.
Like with no sense of, hey, you could have a brain hemorrhage fighting this dude in a Raider jersey.
Yeah.
Why do you think just because you're a girl that he's going to go easy on you? You've now thrown a beer in his face. You've taken a swing at him.
Yeah.
His blood alcohol is probably 0.27. But the
NFL will tell you that the demographic for fans is much higher than that, by the way.
Really? Oh,
highly
they would?
Educated, wealthy, and all that. But if you look at the fights in the game, it's
if you throw a beer in the face, that's a $15 beer.
It is getting pretty expensive these days, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. What have we not covered yet? I sent you guys some links here. I want to just pluck one off the pile because, there's so many things going on here. It's crazy. Oh, here's one for you. Andy, you'll like this. Jack Nicklaus sues the Jack Nicklaus Company, wins $60 million defamation suit.
Yeah, that's right. I beat myself.
But,
you know, people said they couldn't beat me. Guess what? I just did, bitches.
They just declared bankruptcy.
Well, yes, they did because he won the lawsuit.
Right.
Marty, can you explain this odd case of Jack Nicklaus suing and winning the Jack Nicklaus Company?
Well, I think it goes to the fact that he really didn't have much to do with that company anymore with his name, and he was out doing other things, architecture and everything, and they were trying to still leverage his name as a part of it.
That's why they bought his name, though.
Exactly, right? And that's what normally you would think to be able to do, but clearly he thought differently, and the courts agreed with him. So good for him, I guess.
Now you and Trump are going to rebuild Andrews Air Force.
Oh, I saw that. They're going to do two courses, the whatever, and
all right, I'm a golfer. Marty, are you a golfer?
Occasionally, yeah.
Occasional golfer.
Yes.
Andy is a tried and former golfer.
Failed.
Yes. I've played Andrews a couple times. It's a flat piece of land.
Yeah.
And the course is okay.
Yeah.
You get a free air show with it, which is super cool. I love that because there's C-130s taking off. Yeah. If you're lucky, you might see Air Force One take off.
Yeah.
I'm sure Nicklaus could do a lot with those courses, but I don't know how much.
And how much do you want it to be? Right, it's not going to be this exclusive, right?
No, they're not going to turn it private or anything like that, or raise the.
You want to make
fee?
It into a decent public muni type course.
You know what?
That
for our troops, I would love for them to get a nice.
There
golf
you go.
Course. I'd be all about that,
and have a tournament there too.
Maybe,
but on the golf. So what's going to happen, Zabe? You're the one that I always rely on to say, "Tell me what's going to happen to golf in the next 2 years."
Oh, with the LIV stuff.
But well, not only
Do you
that,
have a
but
thought
is
on
the PGA going to reform and no longer have all the signature tournaments that the guys hang out in, or what?
Well, this is a topic, Marty, I'm glad you brought it up, that's going to be talked about in depth on the Capital Golf Gang, my other vertical for a sports yak because people don't like me talking golf on this thing here.
But let me tell you something.
They get very annoyed.
As a non-golfer, I can listen to that and not get bored.
Oh, nice.
That's good.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fascinating because this new CEO or the new commissioner or the commissioner in waiting, because I guess Fincham is still hanging on for another little bit.
Well, he's officially commissioner. I think the other guy is.
Oh, yes.
Rolap is president or something. Or
okay,
is he,
yeah. That's right. So Rolap, yeah. And he comes to the PGA Tour from the NFL.
Yeah.
And Rolap believes that scarcity and simplicity are the two key things that golf is suffering from. Mm-hmm. The season's too long. Mm-hmm. You don't know who's playing when. Mm-hmm. And so his vision is for a much shorter tour, maybe only 20 events with the four majors and the Ryder Cup mixed in, and they won't start until after the Super Bowl.
Good idea. Mm-hmm.
You like that idea?
Well, I have been to the Super Bowl in Phoenix.
With the waste management.
And that was a big deal as a tie into that, but the Super Bowl isn't in Phoenix every year.
No. It'll be interesting if they do move to that schedule. Do they keep Marty, the waste management, overlapping Super Bowl Sunday? Because they usually play that fourth round early, so it wraps up before the football game.
Yeah.
That's not a bad spot for it, in my opinion.
Lead in, yeah.
And I think they've even talked about now potentially having a bigger tournament at the beginning of the season, almost like the way NASCAR does with the Daytona 500 early.
Really?
And having a major tournament early to capture all that attention and then carry that over into the monthly majors, et cetera.
Look at the model with the PGA. It used to be in August. Nobody cared. They moved it earlier in the season. It means more.
Better now. But they also wanted to get out of the NFL's shadow.
True.
Right.
And wrap up their playoffs.
But it was still August. It wasn't the NFL season.
I know, but the playoffs, Andy, went the FedEx Cup playoffs, which I don't think you watched, ran in September. And the tour is like, nobody is watching or caring.
Right.
Once you get to September, everything is irrelevant.
Yeah. The bigger fascination is with Liv and where that is going. You know, Trump has met with Yasir Al-Rumayyan, and he has said to those in the PGA Tour ecosystem, look, you can say what you want about the shorts and boombox tour, as I call it. They're not going away.
No.
The billions of dollars they've burned already is still a drop in the bucket for the trillions in liquid black gold that's being sucked out of the sand.
Didn't they go to 72 holes?
They are going to.
They're 72. Going to 72.
So will they still be Liv if they play 72?
No, they're Lixie. They're LXII. That's the joke, is they're going to be called Lixie now.
But that was the important part was so much of the golf world was centered in North America, and part of it, there were parts of the world that were saying, what about us? What about us? What about us? And that's what this money is trying to do, is to try to bring, again, to the having spent many different times in the Gulf region and in Qatar and our Georgetown thing, that Saudi and they are desperate to bring more balance to having events and activities there on a regular basis. They're doing it with tennis. They want to do it with golf. And it starts with this kind of money, but ultimately it becomes something that can become more regular.
The cynics call it sport washing. A more, I think, balanced term would be like, well, they just want to be more than just a rich hermit nation of look at our backward ways in the year 2025 and look at how rich we are. Mm-hmm. They, like you said, they want events, they want sports, they want tourism, and they want to still be a traditional, you know, Islamic society.
But even, but the, for the casual fans, they're irrelevant because all their players play in the majors, and that's what most of us watch.
And, you know, and I'm sympathetic to the whole the rest of the world wanting top flight golf, but the NBA is based in the USA. The NFL is based in the USA. Right. The best leagues are based in our country because that's where the best players and teams and cities are.
Well, that's also where we talk about this in our classes all the time. That's where the most money is. If you grow up, if you're LeBron James and you grow up in this country, you can play your entire career in your own country. If you're the best golfer, whatever, and you're from Australia, you're going to have to at some point come to the U.S. and North America because that's where the most money is.
Live in Florida, right, where they all live.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
Which Rory did for a while, then he hated it and moved back to the U.K. Yeah.
But no matter what the other Asian and Gulf countries, you've got to have players that come out of those. You've got to have substantial stars. It's happening in Asia, right? We're getting the LPGA. The best women's golfers are, you know, Korean and throughout. But in terms of the golf, they're going to have athletes. India, you're going to have an athlete that comes to prominence like, you know, the Japanese baseball players, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have that. There's only a certain amount of events and other things you can do until you have the prominent athlete come from your country.
So the two transformational golfers in my lifetime are Jack and Tiger, right? Yeah. They're both American.
Arnie. Yes.
Arnie.
Arnie.
Okay, yeah, Arnie too. But
Arnie more transformational than Jack even.
More importantly, they're all Americans.
Yeah.
So more to your point, like if there is a Victor Wembanyama of golf, then maybe things change internationally. Mm-hmm.
If you look at the largest populations in the world, you look at India, you look at China, et cetera, you need to have athletes from those countries become prominent, in particular in mainstream sports, in order for that to really grow up and stand up on its own.
It's going to happen.
Eventually will.
It's just a matter of time. I'll see it in my lifetime.
Every league is searching for that great Indian baseball player, golfer, whatever it is, footballer. You know, it's so dominated by cricket and other sports.
Yeah, they're wasting their time on shit sports, to be honest.
You know, the NBA
tried with the better sports that we monetize, then they'd be there.
The NBA tried that with China, and it didn't work out. Yeah. Right? It came to a hard end.
It did really
5 years.
What happened? What happened to the NBA in China?
Well, there's 300 million. People in China playing basketball. How many of them do you know? Or how many of them
Yao Ming. Yao Ming was the last
guy. What I mean, right?
So what happened, though? Did they sever ties with China, the NBA?
Well, they had to back it down, themselves. Right? They had to back it down. They're restarting that, as I understand, in the last year, trying to quietly sort of bring that back. But it was very difficult politically for them to have both of those.
But that's part of – I thought that the international games in the NFL were just about the television. Apparently what I read is they're using the NBA model, like the Dream Team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it possible that the next, you know, Tom Brady comes from Italy or France or something like that?
I think that'll be a longer while, but the specialists are already coming from
there. Punters, kickers.
All that. But that's because they kick the ball. The first instinct as a kid is to kick it rather than catch it. What I'm saying is if American football is introduced in these other countries with all the people, does somebody float to the surface who becomes the next?
Yes. It has to.
The answer is yes, because what will happen is, Andy, they'll play at a youth level through some organized NFL initiative over in Turkey.
Right.
And then get a scholarship in the States at like Eastern Carolina and then come up the ranks that way.
Yeah. There's two things about it. What I understand from the Madrid game that the Commanders played in, that they'll probably not go back to Spain because the audience was largely people who traveled to Spain to watch the games. They did not get the kind of population from the country to come and watch, which is what they thought. And the other thing, too, is the NFL, look, they tried NFL Europe, whatever. They're not willing to invest in it. They want somebody else to invest in the talent. We'll see who that can be, actually, to bring that potential football player to the United States, play in college, which is the development system for the NBA.
If
the
Victor Wembanyama was born 60 years ago, he might have played volleyball.
Yeah, for sure.
The Dream Team made it possible for him to be introduced to basketball.
And if he was born 50 years ago, he'd be washing windows because he was so tall. There'd be no sports to play.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a fair thing to say because he did have other sports.
I'm just saying it's continuing to evolve.
Right, right. But
the further back you go, it's like, great, you're a 7'6" freak. What are you going
to
do?
Well, my grandfather, who didn't like sports, used to say sports existed so we could have enough street cleaners and garbage men. It kept people stupid.
Yeah, what a retrograde opinion from old Mr. P.
Yeah, and then Mr. Perlman, that's my mother's father. And then when I got on the radio, he actually kind of liked it.
Well, that's good. Yeah. There's this, Andy. Apparently the other night, the Timberwolves had a 2-question, 35-second post-game press conference with Chris Finch of the Timberwolves because none of the Timberwolf beat writers were on the road to cover it.
I've seen this with the Wizards and the Post that they will not staff road games. And this is full circle for the NBA because in the early days of the NBA, I mean, not even
in
the 80s, early,
say, no, in the heyday of the
no,
NBA?
No, but like late 60s, okay?
Oh, okay.
The Chicago Bulls became an expansion team. Dick Motta would call the newspaper desk after the games on
give
road
him the
game.
Score.
Give him some quotes.
We beat the Sonics tonight.
Yeah. No, they get the score.
Wes had 23. No, that in there.
This is the Bulls. This is when he coached in the Bulls. So. But he would give them a couple of quotes for their paper. Mm-hmm. And you know, nowadays, do you really need to send
why do you need
a beat? This is an expense that papers don't want to spend anymore. So, now could he do – seems like he could do his news conference on Zoom, couldn't he?
Oh, sure. And again, all of the statistics and all that is in real time. Everybody can see it from where you are. Oh, with the exception, I think the NFL is the one sport where that can happen, because anything that happens in a game is so important that you need that person there to go down. Joe Burrow gets hurt. Somebody else gets hurt. You want that immediate what's really happening, which you wouldn't get. It's so important. But
somebody
has
to ask the coach, why are you an idiot? In person in the NFL, and on any given week, there's at least one of those.
Well, they also,
like the interim guy for the Giants who went for it on fourth and goal from the six, ended up losing because they kicked a field goal to tie.
Well, the NFL model is fantastic, good for media, because it's one day to play and six days to talk about it.
Yeah,
right. And
that's why it works.
They do a great job of making the coaches available on certain days, the quarterback on a certain day, other players, and so about five out of those 7 days. There's somebody available to talk football.
Can't go find Joe Namath by the pool during Super Bowl week anymore.
No. Right. That's why, Marty, I call the NFL the greatest episodic reality show ever. It's episodic.
Yep.
There's one episode a week,
mm-hmm.
and then there's all week to talk about it, like people used to do with Breaking Bad. Oh, my gosh.
And there's characters, and there's chapters.
Oh,
yeah. They've got some WWE with the baby face and the heel.
Oh, it's so good. They can't fuck it up, and they're trying to with all these – roughing fouls they call against guys that just
it will not die.
The
shield is impenetrable. We saw that during COVID.
A very dubious
the shield. Will
they
not
made
die.
Money with no fans. How about that?
Is that not the?
Yeah, I mean the whole model of it, I think, works incredibly well in this market, because people here don't work 40 hours a week. They work 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And to have 3 hours on Sunday where everybody watches. It's an event town. That's why it's so successful.
And, Andy, you work 10 hours a week. So
I do, but that's okay.
By the way, you can hear Andy every morning, 9 to 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. on
AM
630.
Yep.
The Sports Capital is what the station is called now, even though it used to be the old WMAL signal, which used to be the dominant signal that my dad grew up listening to, Hardin and Weaver. They since then flipped transmitters, so the power on that 630 signal is not as strong.
You know why,
correct?
Don't you?
Why?
Because the land that the transmitter was on was incredibly valuable. They sold the land.
No shit.
Oh, yeah. It was like in Potomac.
And they had a larger tower?
Yeah, everything. You know.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. Two more things real quick. And, Marty, thanks for coming by today. It's been great. This one, Heading South is the headline. Students from the Northeast are flocking to Southern universities in record numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Drawn to campuses where sunshine, Greek life, and football define the culture.
Mm-hmm.
As the SEC's greatest marketing slogan ever said, it just means more.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
and look at the average 15, 16, they covet what they see on social. And what does it look like to you on social for SEC?
Drinking,
it looks
hotties.
Like paradise. You know,
it
looks like home games.
In November.
It looks like you never go to class and you do it. Oh. So it looks great. And so, if you look at that Northeast, where would you want to go in the Northeast in terms, football wise or anything? What would keep you there?
Well, my daughter went to Wisconsin. She liked that.
Which is the northern version of that appeal. Because there's once upon a time, Andy, no upper middle class girl like your daughter would think about going to Wisconsin for college if it weren't for football.
Right, but
football's driving new registrations at schools you would never think of. If I had told my parents, even though I applied to California schools and I went to UCSB, if I had told them I wanted to apply to Alabama, they would have looked at me like I'm crazy. Well, they go, why?
This Chris Core told me this. He went to Wisconsin, and he's
Chris Core is
his former radio host. Did Trumbull and Core on MAL for years.
Yep.
And, I guess he's fully retired now, but he's a Wisconsin alum, and he said he went to an alumni event where Donna Shalala, who had then the new president,
she resurrected the program.
And she said, "We're going to build a great university by having a great football team." She hired Barry Alvarez.
Yeah,
and the rest is history.
Yeah,
and now they're trying to put the pieces back together because they're falling behind in nil money.
Well, they didn't understand that this was coming
how
down
expensive.
The tracks.
Yeah. Well,
what you're going to see is if you look at the Ivy League and some others, if you know who you are, you have a chance to go forward. Like, this is what we are. We have academics, et cetera. If you're in that mushy middle, right, you're at the end of the Big 10 or you're end of the Big 12 or somewhere in the Sun Belt, it's going to be really difficult. Look at what's happened to James Madison. Yeah. They have raised the profile of that university through what? Through football. Right? Yeah. Successful football programs.
There are, and even the Division III schools where they don't give scholarships, yeah. they're resurrecting football to get more males in the school.
That's something you've got to figure out some way to get males to go to school because they have so many other choices.
Right.
So the numbers are.
All right. And then lastly, this, Andy. It looks like Eastern New Mexico is expected to hire former disgraced Baylor football coach Art Briles as the school's next head coach.
Right. There's that, and there's also, you know who's a head coach now? DJ Durkin at Auburn. Yeah.
DJ Durkin was the coach at Maryland when they had a player pass away during a workout in the summer.
Yes, and his name was McNair, Jordan McNair.
Yes.
Died in a workout, and they had a board of trustees meeting, and they elected to keep him. And then there was a bow, what are you doing? And so they pushed him out. I didn't think he'd ever become a head coach again, certainly not in college. And
did he get a raw deal?
No, I don't think so.
Because any time a kid dies,
it's on your watch.
Easily preventable. Right.
It's the same.
You got to watch the hydration
levels.
Not
happening very often. Yeah. Why is it happening at your place?
Someone dropped the ball.
You know, same thing with Joe Paterno.
And yet Brian Kelly killed a kid by putting him on a scissors lift and survived it as a coach.
And the parent, that's because the parents didn't want to do anything about it, which is really insane.
I would own Notre Dame.
But if Durkin becomes a head coach again, and then Art Briles, this is Division Two, right? I think it is.
Eastern New Mexico,
I think it is.
So that was my safe school.
He's 69 years old.
Postcard application, Marty, is really easy.
I mean, if they want to do that. But, enough time passes. You know, that's what happens.
Will Dave Bliss, the former disgraced Baylor basketball coach, ever coach again?
You know, he could have, but they did a documentary on Showtime about that.
Yeah.
And they had this part where I guess he thought he wasn't being recorded.
Oh, jeez.
And he started whining about what a raw deal he got and stuff. And they aired that as part of the documentary. Yeah. I did SMU basketball for a couple of years when he was the coach, and I knew him, I knew him as, he's a Knight assistant, and he's not Knight, but I guess we found out what a bad guy he really is.
All right, Marty, shameless plug time.
Yes, sir.
Tell people what's going on, where they can find you, what's happening at Georgetown.
Yeah.
Plug away, my man.
All right, so Georgetown University, the Sports Industry Management Program, which I'm one of the several instructors that we have. We have about 200 students a year in the program. We have one of the largest alumni networks now out there. So between the main campus and alumni, that's where I'm at. Or you can find me on Twitter or LinkedIn, at Marty Conway on Twitter, or follow me on LinkedIn.
Love it. Andy, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
Great lunch. Thank you to the Palm and Tysons, and thank you for listening to the Zabecast. See you next time.
So what happens now? Is the food free, or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.